Chad Hart, Extension Economist at Iowa State University.
Chad, there's a lot of speculation right now about how the trade negotiations between the U.S. and China and also the NAFTA countries, the U.S., Canada, Mexico, how that's impacting prices. And I want to get your take on that. When you think about the Chinese retaliation to the tariffs, steel and aluminum, the NAFTA renegotiation being drug out, can you put a dollar and cents figure on what has already happened to the markets and moving forward, what producers might be able to expect?
Well, yeah, I mean, we can try to put values to them. I mean, for example, when we're looking at the soybean market, the idea is, you know, especially the dispute with China there is what looms writ large, but the NAFTA renegotiations weigh in on it as well. And what we've seen thus far, especially once the news that these tariffs were moving forward, that we have, an end date here of July 6th when we're actually going to see these tariffs enforced, we saw the soybean market take a very dramatic move down. We're down about, you know, 12-13% over the course of about the last 2 weeks. And so that, you know, if you will, shows the significant values that are being placed upon this here. Because if we think about a 12-13% hit on soybean values, you know, across a state like Iowa, you're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars being lost there if these tariffs remain in place. And so, and soybeans is just one crop. When you think about, you know, corn's taking a step back, we definitely saw pork prices take a step back when tariffs went in on that market. And so you're accumulating, you know, literally, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars worth of potential losses as we play out through these trade negotiations and disputes that, you know, eventually, once, you know, especially as product has to move, those potential losses become realized the longer the tariff structures remain in place.
When you hear Ag Secretary Perdue talk about ways of helping to offset these losses, he talks about the CCC. Do you think that that's a viable option for farmers that are really panicking right now based on the price environment?
Well, when we're looking, I mean, what Secretary Perdue is bringing up is we do have some structures in place to help farmers out when we do see price setbacks. And specifically here, when you think about the CCC, that has been a tool that the government has utilized over the years to help us in low price situations. You know, for many farmers, they think back to the late 1990s, and we remember the term LDP, loan deficiency payment. Well, that was through the CCC helping us through a low price situation. And so, you know, that's showing, are there tools ready to help producers? Yes. Now the question is, can they handle the size and scale of the disruption we're seeing here? And that's the challenge, especially as we look here, and I'm more worried about this with livestock than with crops, but the idea is when you think about it, what the CCC does is it tends to purchase commodities, pull them off the marketplace to let prices improve. Well, that depends upon being able to store the commodity for a long period of time. Crops, that's easy to do, fairly easy to do. Where it becomes more difficult, especially, is for the livestock industry. You know, in this case, like pork, the idea is you can only hold and store that commodity for a relatively short period of time before it has to move to final usage.
And pork specifically, Chad, it seems like almost a doomsday scenario building here. When you look at the Mexican market, and if the NAFTA deal falls through, you lose that. Plus, you go into a third and fourth quarter, which were already supposed to be negative anyway. Things are going to get real tight there, aren't they?
Yeah, it's the deal. The pork industry has gotten really tight. I mean, luckily, we have seen a little bit of recovery over the last couple of weeks. But as you mentioned here, you know, what's unique about this situation we're facing now is that we're not only facing challenges in a major market like China, but as you say, NAFTA renegotiation going on, disputes with the European Union. And so right now, when you look at our top five trade partners when it comes to agriculture en masse, we have disputes with all five of them. Normally, when you get in a dispute like this, you're fighting with one or two, but not all five at the same time. And I think that's the thing that really has agriculture on edge. If our big five aren't buying, does the rest of the world have enough buying power to help offset that disruption?
And then the other factor that's certainly significant right now with the U.S. Crop condition ratings as high as they are, Chad, I mean, it's not like the market needed another bearish signal, but that certainly is one.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I think when you think back to, you know, when we were coming into 2018, the big story for ag had been the large production over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, where we've just had large crops and increasing livestock production each and every year. And so coming into 2018, I think a lot of folks were thinking, okay, well, production should slide back towards more normal pace, and we were seeing demand growth, especially on the trade side. Now we see the potential for, again, another set of basically record to near record production in a lot of areas in ag, while at the same time, too, that growing demand is now significantly weakened with these trade disputes.
Chad, for those corn and soybean producers that are thinking about marketing this growing crop and all the uncertainty that's in front of them right now, what are some good rules of thumb? What are some general strategies that you think they should at least consider right now?
Well, you know, as we're staring forward from here, hopefully they did get to take advantage of some of the better pricing we had earlier this spring. That was one of the things that was encouraging up till about 2 weeks ago, is that we did have some good prices on the board for producers to go ahead and do some risk management protection on with the price side. Now that we're here where we're at, if you will, now's the time to let time sort of pass by. Let's see what happens with the trade negotiations. Know that, you know, the volatility that we're going to face here, we're going to face it both upside and downside risk here. And so this is a time to take advantage when we do see those up days, to look at them really hard and say, okay, is that a price that I'm comfortable moving on? If you will, time is sort of our friend right now. The other thing to look at for here, especially, is as we're looking, you know, when you think back over the last couple of years, July has been a month where we have seen some good rallies followed by some good declines, but the idea is those potential rallies are still out there. The weather conditions have been just as variable as the trade negotiations thus far, and so there's still potential for some market or some rallies based upon the weather conditions that will show up in the marketplace. Plus, we'll see how these trade negotiations go on. One of the things I've been fascinating with thus far this spring is, if you will, this concern about the Chinese soybean tariff has been on and off, on and off, on and off several times now. So it's almost like the weather conditions, depending upon what day of the week you look, the markets are getting a different signal about that.
I want to come back to the CCC tool. And when you look at what occurred in the late 90s with LDP, when you factor in inflation and everything, Chad, what might a producer expect for compensation relative to where commodity prices are at? And I know there's a lot that goes into that calculation that you don't know right now, but generally speaking, I mean, what kind of compensation should somebody expect from that?
Well, right now, I think when you're looking at the CCC as it's currently structured, and if we're going to use the programs as they currently stand, farmers should not expect a lot of help right now, because those CCC loan guarantees and things like that really haven't moved that much over the intervening years since the late 1990s. And so, you know, we'll have to take some fairly significant hits on the market side before that type of protection kicks in. Now, having said that, the Secretary does have some latitude to change some of the things within the CCC programs to make them be a bit more responsive here. But that's at the same time as, you know, the federal government is scrambling for how to reduce the deficit, bring down the debt. And so there's pressure, if you will, on both sides of this debate. We want to protect our farmers from the negative impacts of these trade agreements, but at the same time, too, I think the Secretary and Congress are leery of guaranteeing that much money up front, because it's going to add to the debt.
Chad, we've covered a lot of ground today. Anything else you want to make sure we talk about?
Well, the big thing, like I say, as we look forward here, is that negotiations still are ongoing. And so we know the deadline right now is July 6th, when a lot of these things take into a place. But I expect to see these negotiations carry on through the summer. To me, the thing to watch for here is, can we get a resolution before we get into late August, early September, basically before we, you know, if you will, before the combines start to roll for harvest if we can, that reduces these potential losses from this trade dispute.